So let's begin and let's try to move a little more, you know, quickly. We did a quite an extensive Akdama, and then we discussed Avos and Toldos. And now we want to discuss the different Avos and Zikin as reflected in the discussion of Toldos. So let's begin. Mostly we can get by with what we have in the Gemaras. I may have to read a couple of lines, but mostly we should be okay. So the Gemara says here, after discussing briefly different paradigms of Avos and Toldos, some which are kiyotzebem, some which are not kiyotzebahen. So the Gemara says, and now turns finally to the Avos and Zikin, which is the topic of the Besakta, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, this is four lines down, Amar Papa, yesh mehen kiyotzebahen, yesh mehen lav kiyotzebahen. In other words, while the initial presentation is that Tumah is Bechada Machta, even though we noted last time we met, which was a couple of weeks ago, that isn't such a Davar Pashut, really, because there's something called Cherev Karev Kecholol, and there's something called Mishka Vazav, and there are a few other cases where it seems that they're, not all Tumah is the same. But either way, the Gemara presents Tumah as being always Lav Kiyotze Bahem. When it comes to Avos and Toldos of Shabbos, the Gemara's conclusion is that it's always kiyotze bahen. But however, our Papa says when it comes to the toldos of Nezikin, that yesh v'yesh, right? Yesh mehem kiyotze bahen, yesh mehem lav kiyotze bahen. Then the Gemara elaborates, Tan Rabbanan, Gimel Avos Nemru Beshor, Hakeren, Hashen, V'Haregel. There are three Avos come under the rubric of the word shor, keren, shein, and regel. Keren meaning horn, which we'll soon see means an attack by an animal, right? Kavanasa lahazik is one of the main characteristics of keren. Shein is, kishmo kenhu, tooth, meaning an animal that eats, lahana aso mostly, and therefore causes damage, but that's not an attack. Right, the end result may be a loss of money or loss of property, but that's simply typical behavior and peaceful behavior, just animal behavior, right? Or maybe human and animal behavior. But regel also, like Shane in that respect, is derech hilucha we're talking about mostly, meaning the animal walks, and as it walks, it bumps into things, it stomps on things. Or it steps on things, I should say. Stomps has an aggressive, I guess, connotation. Part of the discussion of it. So Karen, Shane, and Regel are quite different from each other. And even Shane and Regel, which are probably the closest to each other of all the Avos and Zikin, even they, as we'll discuss, probably not today, but when we continue, maybe the next week, start discussing the relationship between Shane and Regel. That's an interesting question, whether Shane and Regel are really one or two. They're often grouped together. For example, as we'll discuss, the Ptur of Rishus HaRabim, which is a special din of Shein V'Regel, applies to both Shein and Regel. There's no other, what we call Hilchoseim, special dinim, that applies to two rather than to one of the Avos HaZikin. That's just an example. And then Shein and Regel are often like a package deal. And we'll see in the Gemara when we get to it, whether or not that's misleading, because even though a lot of the dinim overlap and are the same, there's a lot in common, they're still different, or whether or not they really are the same. For example, in Minyan HaMitzvos, those who count the Avos and the Nezikin as separate in Minyan HaMitzvos, should you count Shein and Regel as one, or should you count them as two? Right? That's one. There are numerous questions, and we'll discuss that when we get to it. But Shor consists of Keren and Shein and Regel. Keren is the most different of the three, and Shein and Regel, as I'm trying to point out, are, very strongly connected to each other, but the question is how strongly. Then the Gemara says, Keren minolon, what is the makor for Keren? The Gemara says, the Tan Rabbanan kiyigach, ein negicha ela bekeren. Torah says the words kiyigach in Parshas Mishpatim, and the word negicha, goring, has a connotation of doing it with a horn. You gore with a horn. Therefore, even though the pasuk doesn't explicitly say that this is done with a keren, the verb implies that this is the methodology that it's done by keren. Shenemar, and if you needed a proof for this, right, we have a makar in Melachim Aleph, Vayaslo Tzidkia ben Knana Karne Barzel, right, Vayomer, and he said, Ko Amar Hashem Be'ela Tinagach Esara. So you take the, you know, karnayim, these horns, and be'elan tenagach, you will gore, figuratively, right, aram. So negicha, keren, is a match. Okay. Ve'omer, another match. Bechor shoro, pasuk in the end of the chomesh, in devarim. Bechor shoro, hadar lo, ve'karnei re'em karnav, bahem amim yinagach. So this pasuk actually says explicitly that karne re'em karnav bahem yinagach amin. What do you do with a karen? Negicha. So then the Gemara says, "Mai be'omer." Why do you need the second pasuk? I mean, the pasuk in Devarim. V'chitem adivrei Torah medivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan. If you're concerned that you can't right define a pasuk or word of the Torah on the basis of psukim in the Vim and Ksuvim, then because of the principle of Divrei Torah Medivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, Torah lechud, in other words, in Nevi'im lechud, or Nevi'im and Ksuvim lechud, so then Tashma b'chor shoro hadar lo, the pasuk in the end of Devar. You don't need to go out of Chamisha Chomshei Torah. Now this idea of Divrei Torah Medivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, I don't know if I mentioned or not, is an interesting question. Why would that be? What is the significance of that? So number one, the phrase Kabbalah, right, is understood by the Rishonim to mean different things, or to refer to different things. It always refers to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The question is why. So one possible reason is that Tosfos ben Peretz, here on the spot, suggests that the word isn't Kabbalah, it's Divrei Kivvalah. You don't have this in front of you, but I got these in quite late. But I can read it for you. Then you'll have it as a souvenir at some point. Midivrei Kabbalah, Divrei Nevius, Kari Lehu Divrei Kabbalah, Al Shem Shanevim Kovlim, the Nevi'im were complaining, they were castigating Klal Yisrael, V'tzoakim Al Tzoros Haniros Lahem, right, B'chazon. They were unhappy, they were upset that all the terrible calamities, right, that were occurring to Klal Yisrael, so they were complaining. Kidim targeminan im tsaok yitzak elai im mekabel yakbil. Tsaok tsaak, tsaaka, complaint, right, is captured by the word in Aramaic, mekabel or yakbil. V'yesh v'farsh kabbalah shekulam kiblu nevuaseyem mimosh rabbeinu, v'chen amar Yeshayahu, kirvu elai shimuzos lo mirosh b'seser, dibarti me'es hayasa sham, Ani va'ata Hashem Elokim shlachani, etc. So basically, there are two opposite perushim in Rabbeinu Peretz, right? One of which emphasizes Nevi'im and Ksuvim as part of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or at least as part of the integrated Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That the word is actually Kabbalah, and Kabbalah means Kabbalah mi Moshe Rabbeinu. And we talked a little bit about this last time, now that I recall. I mentioned, I think, the Rashi in Chulin, and Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin has a similar connection. So that, you know, works very well according to the view that even though Nevi'im and Ksuvim were revealed at a later point, obviously in history, nonetheless, like they are all connected to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, so the Gemara says in Bracho something very similar to that. A few other Mamari Chazal as well. There are Mamari Chazal and some of the Rishonim quoted, or Chas Chaim and others, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote all the Svarim, all Chaf Dalet Svarim. Okay. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that different people wrote different Svarim. And some of the Svarim, again, only surfaced, most of the Svarim, Satvul Chamisha Chumshe Torah, didn't surface in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? They surfaced much later. So apparently the idea is, I'll explain in a minute, is similar to what the Gemara says in Brachos, and Avheim and Aleph, V'edna l'cha es ha'luchos ha'evan asher kosavti l'dorosam. So the Gemara says, you know, one refers to Aseres HaDibros, the other refers to Mishnah Shei Torah, one refers to Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnah and Talmud, and then the Gemara says, Asher Kasavti, Hare Elu, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And then the Gemara says, to teach you that Kula Meroa Echad, they all come from Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is an interesting issue and discussion, and that is, like, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu really heard Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so, you know, why didn't he reveal them at the time? There's a din, the Gemara says, and Misha says, and then the Gemara elaborates in the end of Sanhedrin, that a Navi who is Kovesh Nivuaso, and a Navi who refuses to share his prophecy, you know, he suppresses it, he keeps it to himself, he locks it up, you know, and keeps it, you know, as a private inspiration from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Chayv Misa, no less, right? So how come Moshe Rabbeinu knew Nevi'im and Ksuvim? He didn't share it. Yeah?
I think that means that if you're Kodesh and Nevuah, that should be given at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is that what needs to be said is that even if Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was connected, I mean, I think there are different things that you could say, but one of the things you could say is that even if Moshe Rabbeinu was given a glimpse into a future, what would be the future Nevuos that were given to other Nevi'im, right? It's they weren't intended to be shared at that point in time. That's the point. A Navi who's Kovesh, a timely Nevuah, you know, is that's an act of selfishness, and it's a violation of the special experience of Nevuah that he has. And as such, he is Chayv Misa. But if Moshe Rabbeinu was kind of given a glimpse into the future of Nevuah, but one which is intended to be timely in its time, there's no Kovesh Nevuah, so that. Others suggest other things, and that is that we don't really mean that Moshe Rabbeinu actually, you know, was given these Nevuos, but that these Nevuos, a linchpin to these Nevuos, was the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu. If it wasn't for Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't for Chamisha Chumshei Torah and everything else, then, you know, these other Nevi'im could not have had the experiences or the content that they had. That's another way of interpreting. And numerous things to say. Yeah.
I just wondered why Rav didn't cite the first Mishnah in Amos.
The what? The Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. It was earlier in Yeshua. Right. But that, how do we know that that refers to Nevi'im and Ksuvim?
What does Nevi'im mean?
What?
What does Nevi'im mean? What does Nevi'im mean?
It means the people, the Nevi'im.
What did he give them?
Presumably, the Pashtus is that he didn't give them the Nevuah. He gave them the Chetzah Shel, the Torah Shebaal Peh. The simple part of the first mission in Avos is Moshe Kibel Torah B'Sinai, meaning in addition to the Chamisha Chumshah, the text, he received its interpretation, like the Rambam says in the beginning of Yad HaKazaka, right? And that means Torah Shebaal Peh, Halacha, but Torah Shebaal Peh. He transmitted those details, and will add the methodology to the next generation, and the next generation, and they to the next generation, and so on. Pashas, it's nothing to do with Nevuah, or the text of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It has to do with, it's about Bava Kama, you know. It's about, whether Tol Tosei or Kiyotze Ben or not. Or according to Ben Yonah, on that Mishnah, which we talked about in our Agdama, it's, you know, to teach you that that Gezel is the Yesod of Nezikin. But it's not, you know, the words of Yeshaya or Yirmiyahu or etc. Anyways, this is a very interesting and a very big issue. It comes up in a lot of places, and it's a very, very important, you know, meta-halachic, and in its own right, a very important topic. So, for example, in the exchange between the Bahag and the Rambam, you know, whether or not to count mitzvos drabanan or not. Right? The Bahag counts Neros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah, all these kind of things. And the Rambam rails against it in his Shoresh, in the first Shoresh. The Rambam says, you can't count mitzvahs drabanan as part of the Taryag mitzvahs of the Torah. I mean, if there is Taryag mitzvahs of the Torah, then they have to be biblical mitzvahs. So the Ramban, actually, in Sefer Mitzvos, has several different formulations about these issues to try to defend the Bahag. He doesn't necessarily agree with the Bahag, but he tries to defend the Bahag. It's an exercise for the Ramban, but an exercise which, you know, he wouldn't have joined unless he thought it was plausible, right? So the Ramban says different things, like, you know, oh, we don't mean, no one, the Baha'i doesn't mean that these drabanans are Doraisa or that they're real mitzvos min haTorah. What he means is that the methodology upon which they rest, you know, is min haTorah, and in that sense, they're min haTorah too. Or that's part of the Torah tells us is mitzvah, part of the Dinei Torah is mitzvah Shema Divrei Chachamim. And therefore, when the Chachamim say, you know, that there's this mitzvah, that mitzvah, and the next mitzvah, so in a way, in a certain way, right, that is a kiyum of a din d'oraisa. But then at one point, so those are obviously, you know, one type of answer. They're similar to each other, slightly different, but similar. And then, you know, he also has a suggestion, or he says, or maybe it's like one of those Gemaras or one of those Chazals that seem to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was given a glimpse, you know, into the future. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, already knew about Neros Chanukah, Mikra Megillah. I know about Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, you know, perhaps. So, you know, in some respect, Igloi Mil Salama Freya, right, that these are all Mirumazim. Again, there's a Renez in the in Mikra for Kriya Samagila, certainly, right? I guess that's our next holiday. So the fact is that in that respect, you know, we're talking about something which is, again, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah has a much, much, much stronger formulation of this idea. Which sometimes happens, you know, the Ritva will kind of intensify certain Rambans, but the Ritva talks about asmachta. Normally we think of an asmachta as like a mnemonic device, right? It's a memory mechanism that, you know, helps you, helps you retain your connection to certain ideas. But it's not an authentic source, presumably. But the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah has, in one place, suggests that that is not the case, but that the Torah, you know, kind of strategically, you know, places all these Ramazim in the Psukim, and that's like because it had, you know, access to future halachic developments. So that in some senses, these are real Makoros. That's a view of the Ritva. Again, it's not the majority view by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a view. So this whole question of what, you know, Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Kivala, so that's the Divrei Kabbalah part, and, you know, the Divrei Kivala part, as I think I said a couple of weeks ago, is very much contained or referred to, you know, by the Gemara in Nedarim. By the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Chav Gimel, says Omole Lochatu Yisrael, you know, if not for the Cheta Egel, right, all there would have been Chamishe Chumshe, the entire canon would have been Chamishe Chumshe Torah and Sefer Yoshua. What's the Yichus of Sefer Yoshua? Because it records, you know, Chalukas Haaretz. So again, if you look at that Gemara Nedarim and the Mefarshim there, some of them, you know, embrace it. And some of them have a hard time with it. The ones who think, you know, who point to the Gemara in Brachos Tafhei and other sources like it, that, you know, that Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you know, are reflecting, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu's time, halacha, and so on, you know, are very unhappy with this Gemara's implication that in theory, you know, you didn't have to have Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? A parallel discussion in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi says in Megillah, this is the last Rambam and Ravid in Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam quotes this Yerushalmi that, you know, La'asid Labo, instead of talking about what might have been, we'll talk about, you know, what will be in the future. You know, La'asid Labo, in the time of Yimos HaMashiach, says the Rambam, quoting the Yerushalmi, right, there'll only be Chamisha Kumshe Torah and maybe Sefer Esther. Right, the diuk and the psukim, that why Esther is different. Right, that's why the Ram has it in Hilchos Megillah. And the Ravid says, Chas v'shalom, you can't even say such a thing. After all, ein sefer asher ein bo limud, and we learn dinim from Nevi'im and Ksuvim. We learn Hilchos Avelos, we learn, you know, Hilchos Mekach HaMemkar, right? Widno kinyan sudar, shalafishnalav, you know, benasam l'reyehu, and we wouldn't know many dinim, certain dinim about shtaros, and so on and so forth, many dinim, and other dinim too.
We'd also shorten the Shabbos service.
That would be a problem, right? We have time for other things that, you know, probably weren't as edifying. If we'd give more time for the rabbi's drug, basically the rabbi would have less to darshan, also because there wouldn't be enough material, maybe. But or unless he was forced to be more ba'omek, you'd have to learn more rabbis, but or more rabbis. So this is all like a very interesting discussion. The rabbi says it can't be. It's not true. The Yerushalmi only means, you know, Kriya B'tzibur. So there are though, like Gemara Tzchayas, and it's really based on the Shuvas or Advaz, who say that the Gemara Nadarim also doesn't. What it means is, all the halachos and all the details, right, that we derive from the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, halachos and arachim, values, right, all of that is merumas, you know, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. You just have to be, you know, learned enough or ingenious enough, right, to pull it out. Like, you know, the Gra had this enterprise, you know, where through all sorts of Ramazim, right, the Gra was convinced that you could, you know, you could extract, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh from Torah Shebetzav. If you, you know, through Gematrias, through, you know, Ramazim, through this and that. Again, it's an interesting phenomenon. But so kind of the Radvaz and the Tshuva basically says that, you know, all these Gemaras that seem to say that the Vim and Suvim are dispensable, you know, whether it's in the past or the future, you know, what do you do with the Raivad's comment? So instead of saying that's part of Torah Shebaal Peh, which he didn't want to say, he says it's also part of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Just that there's an exoteric source, my language now, but this is basically saying there's an exoteric source and there's an esoteric source, meaning, the, you know, we know some of these dinim ourselves, you know, exoterically from Yeshaya and from Yechezkel and from Rus, you know, and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you knew, you know, the secret, you know, methods of mining, you know, Torah Shebichsav, I guess, which the Gra partially seemed to, you know, be trying to unravel or to succeed in unraveling, then you would realize that all these things are really in Chamisha Chumshei Torah too. There is like a double source, you know, the exoteric and the esoteric. On the other hand, those who think that, you know, really, whatever these halakhos are, you know, they historically surface, you know, in the Sefarim of Nach, but that doesn't mean that that's the real makar, right? Just like if I were to write a, you know, if I were to publish my Torah Shebaal Peh notes, you know, at a certain point in time, and I was the first person to publish them, so everybody would say, oh, that's the first source. But it isn't the real source. The source is the Mesorah, and this is where it got written down for the first time. That doesn't mean it's the first source, the real source, the authentic source. So that's how, you know, some of them explain, you know, these dinim as well. So the perspective that, you know, Nevi'im and Ksuvim is not indispensable, not halachically and not, you know, hashkafically or and so on, is very strongly reinforced by that Gemara Nadarim. And the language of Divrei Kivala, Tochacha, you know, as opposed to a Tochen, but this is like, you know, the criticism of the Nevi'im, and that's what the Gemara means. Il Malei Chatu Yisrael, if it wasn't for Cheta Egel, the trajectory of Klal Yisrael's history would have been different. It would have been a lot happier, right? It wouldn't have, they wouldn't have suffered, we wouldn't have suffered the trials and tribulations and, you know, the ups and downs of history that we do. And consequently, you know, there wouldn't have been need for Divrei Kivala, so much Tochacha, Musar, basically. So what about the actual Tochen things we learned? Yeah, that the real makar is not Nevi'im and Ksuvim, right? There are other makaros, either, you know, the Ramazim of Torah Shebetzav, or it's all Torah Shebaal Peh. So these are really two very different perspectives. Just in the word Kabbalah, you have a whole world. In the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam al Atar, there's a perush on Bava Kama, we've made reference to it already, that it's called Tosfos Talmud or Tamidei Rabbeinu Tam. It has some interesting things. So we talk about Divrei Kabbalah, or Divrei Torah Midivrei Tam Kabbalah Lo Yalfina. So let me get back to that. With the Gemara's application is Divrei Torah Midivrei Kabbalah Lo Yalfina. Right, that you cannot, maybe you can't derive, you know, evidence, can't learn, Torah from Nach. So that's a question that stands on its own, but it's very suggestively connected to what we're just talking about. Right? And it stands on its own, because you could say that even if Nevi'im and Ksuvim are part of the original Nevuah given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were always intended to be part of the initial canon, right? That still doesn't alter the fact that the status of Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim are different. Both in Kedusha and in other things, right? They're different. That difference is sufficient to explain Divrei Torah B'Divrei Kabbalah Le'Alfina. However, having said that, and let me say it the other way, even if you hold that Nevi'im and Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim are Divrei Kivalah rather than Divrei Kabbalah, meaning they're more about Tochach and Musar, right? And at the end of the day, we still believe that they're invested with Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah, if those are two different statuses, which most Rishonim think, that Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah may qualify them, you know, to be a source of drushas. Right. Having said that, the idea of Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan, right, is much more palatable if you think Divrei Kabbalah are, you know, dispensable, you know, that we could have gotten away without them. That obviously, you know, downgrades, you know, some aspect of what they are, especially halachically, you know, to begin with. On the other hand, if you think it's all part of the intended, original, indispensable Mesorah, then you're more likely to think that Divrei Torah, Midivrei Kabbalah, Yalfina. So it's interesting to note, there's a Tosas HaRosh in Nida, I think on Chav Gimel, where the Tosas HaRosh says that the rule of Divrei Torah, Midivrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan, doesn't apply when there's only a makar in Nevi'im and Ksuvim and no other makar in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It really only applies when you have, like in the case here, this is one of the most famous ones, where the Gemara says, you know, there's another raya, right, the Bechor Shor Hagar Lo, the Karneira Eim Karnav. Right? So if you have two makoros, right, one in Nevi'im and Ksuvim and one in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, especially if it isn't just two makoros for the same, you know, limud, but maybe there's like a conflicting implication. So you could either darshan or interpret, whatever you want to call it, based on the pasuk and the vim and suvim, or based on the pasuk and the chamisha chumshei Torah. Right? So there we say divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina. But when you have no alternative, maybe everybody agrees that divrei Torah Midivrei Kabbalah Yalfina. That's a very important view. Not everybody agrees with that Tosa Rosh. In our Gemara here, the Gemara ends up saying that, you know, maybe the whole issue doesn't apply because it's Gili Milsabial. Tashma B'chor Shmar. It says the Gemara, Hai Melefu? Gili Milsabial Mahu. Meaning it's only a linguistic interpretation, not a drasha. Right? But that's an interesting question too. Meaning even, how far does it go? Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Yalfina. Does it go even to Gili Milsa? And again, does that have anything to do with the question of, you know, conceptually how we understand the role and status and stature of Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Anyways, I mentioned Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, and I got distracted. Talmud Rabbeinu Tam connects the question of Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Yalfina, and the status of Divrei Kabbalah, as opposed to Divrei Torah, to the question of Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata, which is an interesting connection. It's not Mukhrach at all. In other words, the Chazal say in numerous places that that a Navi doesn't have any creative, B'Toras Navi, has no creative power in Limud HaTorah and in Halacha. Right? And as Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was the Mekabel Torah, and you know, there are also the Kiddushim in the Torah itself. But A Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata. A Navi repeats, but B'Toras Nevuah, he doesn't have any right to initiate. This is what the Gemara says in a bunch of places, about different things. But the Gemara, for example, says in Tzmura, and Daf Tezayin, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so Klal Yisrael was in a psychological crisis, or got sort of a stupor, and in the Shtakcha, they started forgetting, or maybe this means they just couldn't make the connections. You know, my perspective on this is that, you know, it's a deep understanding of what memory is. It's not memory, you know, as pure power memory, but it's memory's association, which I think is now how the people understand memory. Science now understands memory isn't a videotape that you store in your brain and that you access. It's, you know, based on, you know, the associations that you have. It's stored in a certain way, and, you know, then you access it in that way as well. That's why there's faulty memory, but that's also why memory, you know, has the capacity, there are limits and expansions. The reason that we can remember as much as we remember is because the way the storage works, you know, is through association. It's a different kind of... anyways, so when the Gemara says in Tmura that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, you know, Klal Yisrael started forgetting. I think that's what it means. Meaning, it was memory is associative, and it depends on having a certain perspective and a certain control over the material. And when you're in a psychologically disrupted, you know, state, a state of chaos or a state of panic, you know, it affects your memory. Not the hard facts that you control, but the associations that allow you to apply memory more accurately, and especially to extract from things that you have received and apply them in a new way. So basically, the Gemara tells the story that everybody started panicking, and then they went to you know, to various personalities, Yehoshua, Shmuel, and they said, you know, use your prophetic gifts to recover, you know, the applications, the information, whichever it is, the associations, whatever of these things that have been lost, you know, they should use their prophetic insight, you know, to access that. And the Gemara says, you know, either they quote Lo Bashamayim Hi, and they also quote Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah explains that if a Navi claims, right, that he, you know, knows a certain halacha by Nevuah, right, then you know that he is a, he's Chayv Misa, because he's a kofer. Again, it's also true that the Nevi'im were men of great spiritual and religious stature, and therefore the likelihood that they were also Tamidei Chachamim, you know, who had insights to share of their, you know, based on their halachic creativity and insight and immersion and attunement is very great. Right? So that's why, for example, the Rishonim all discuss. We say about, Eliyahu will decide this, Eliyahu will decide that. So Eliyahu as a Navi or Eliyahu as a Talmid Chacham? Right. So factual things like, you know, who's telling the truth in this case, you know, that's not halachic. That has halachic application. It's not a halachic issue. But these are some very interesting questions. Anyway, so the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam says the din of Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata, this idea that there's a difference between, we say, Chacham Adif Minavi, right? That there's a difference between a Talmud Chacham and a Navi, and that a Navi has limitations, is connected to the idea of a Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah, Yafinu. It's a very interesting kesher. There's a difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im. There's a difference between Chamish Chumshei Torah and other Nevi'im. For the very same reason that Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Le'afinon is connected to Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh or Lo Bashamayim. Anyways, this is an important Gemara for that issue. Then the Gemara says,
is the only reason the Torah, the Gemara brought that first pasuk of Melachim to teach us Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Le'afinon? I mean, what's the reason? They should have brought the pasuk to begin with.
Yeah, that's what some of the Mefarshim ask, and they give different answers to that question. Meaning, what was the point here of quoting from Melachim Aleph to begin with? Why not just quote, you know, from Devarim, from Zosa Bracha. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they give different answers to that question. I mean, we wouldn't have had, you know, the joy and, you know, discussing this really fascinating, it is a very fascinating question about the halakhic status of the Bihim and Ksuvim and you know, what we mean by certain concepts. But, some of them have shown them ask this question. They give answer, not anything so compelling, frankly. Maybe it'll be a little more apparent from the next Gemara, but probably we'll finish that right away. But, okay, the Gemara says as follows. Okay, so, by Melefu Gili Milsa Bi'amahu, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Negicha Bekerenhu, that's a Gili Milsa, Elamau the same, Ki Paligrachmana Ben Tam Lemuad, Hani Mili Bitlusha. Aval b'mechuberes, ema kula mu'edasi. That the Gemara is going this route because you might have thought that if you learned out only from Malachim Aleph, that the distinction between tam and mu'ad in Karen, namely, that when it comes to Karen, when an animal attacks aggressively, kavanos alahazik, and unexpectedly but aggressively, in other words, so the first three times you only pay chatzi nezek. This is what we're going to get into in a couple of minutes, right? And only after a process called hada'a, where the animal evolves into becoming a mu'ad, only then does the owner of the animal pay nezek shalom. Says the Gemara, if only the pasuk in Malachim Aleph. And Malachim Aleph, right, then I would have thought that maybe this din of tam that pays only chatzi nezek is limited to a case of keren tlusha. Now you have to think about this, what this means. It means that the animal doesn't gore you with its organic horn. Right? It picks up a horn, you know, and I don't know, puts it in its mouth, balances it on its... on its ears, I don't know what it does, and it gores you with the Karen Tlusha, right? How many people have experienced that in their trips to the, you know, to the, I would say zoo, but we're not allowed to say zoo anymore, right? What is it called now? The conservation, animal conservation society? Wildlife Conservation
Society.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm a member. You know. Member in good standing. Right. So how many people have seen that? I don't know. But the Gemara is saying we would have thought that the din of tam, which is Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, is Keren Tlusha. But Keren Mechuberes, which is another way of saying a horn, that, you know, a regular goring with a horn that is organic to the animal, right? One would have thought that would always be Chayiv a nezek shalem. That would be muedasi. Therefore, tashma, b'chor shoro hadar lo, b'karnei re'im karnav, that we're talking about, you know, a real horn on a real animal, and that constitutes negicha, which is the din of tam or chatzi nezek. Wow.
So
amazing.
It's difficult to forge a concept becoming a mu'ad if negicha
yes.
is polish.
Say that again?
If negicha refers to polish, then
yeah.
I
don't mean how will it happen? No, this
so
will lend a...
If it happens, you would have to have that
three times
happening three
with
times.
With warnings and so on.
Right.
This Carl Wallenda-esque, incredibly agile...
Right, you're
balancing right. Master animal.
Right. So, right. So not only would it be incredulous once.
Right, 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 right. It's a remarkable Gemara. But it's more remarkable than that when you think about it. Because number one, you're extremely, narrowing, you know, with the cases of Tom, obviously, and Karen. And as you point out correctly, I mean, again, if you can do it once, and it's not a coincidence, you could probably do it 1,000 times, you know. So, you know, that's why I gave him to the Wallenda family, pretty much, right? So, but think of it the other way. Meaning Karen Mechubar or Karen Mechubares is going to be a Muad and Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Right? What happened to, well, the reasoning behind, I mean, we don't pask in this way, but the Gemara Havamina, if we didn't have a Pasuk in Devarim, we would think that Tam is only in Tlusha, and that Mechuberes, which is the standard, you'd be Chayav Nezek Shalim. Like, wow. What happened, we'll get to it in a second, to the basis for Tam Chatzi Nezek? Like, where did that go according to this interesting Havamina? By which I mean, mostly, and this is Mishonim asked this question, as we'll see later on, so this turn for a second, and then I want to talk about Kiyotzebehen and then get back to this, because it's a great example of it. But if you look at the Gemara on Tes Vav Amud Beis, actually, before we get to that, let's just Let's discuss Tezvav Medala first. So the Gemara says Itmar. In the middle of the page on Tezvav Medala, the Gemara says Itmar. Pal Ganiska, right? Chatzi Nezek, the din in the Torah that a Tam pays Chatzi Nezek. Tam, the first three times, pays Chatzi Nezek. Rav Papa Mar Mamona, Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua Mar Knossa. So this is the debate between Rav Papa and Rav Huna, whether or not this is a din mamon, right? In other words, it's a regular, you know, it's a mi'ikra the dina, presumably that's what the Gemara means, kind of halacha, or it's a knas. Okay, we'll see. We might have to revise, you know, both. I mean, again, the Gemara says this is a debate about mamon and knas. Is it a mamon or a knas? We may have to revise in this context what we mean by mamon and what we mean by knas, or at least one or the other. I'm just, you know, foreshadowing just a little bit, you know, which will... So the Gemara says, Rapapa arma mamona. Listen, what does it mean? What does it mean, palganiska is mamona? So he basically says, kasavar, again, we'll take it in the extreme first. This is the way Rabbeinu Tam, and I guess a simple shot of the Gemara, and Rabbeinu Tam enthusiastically embraced it all over the place. So we'll go with that for the beginning, as our default. What does it mean, palganiska mamona? Kasavar stam shvarim la becheska shimur kaiman, meaning ashore, even Karen, you know, you never know, you know, what this animal is going to do. So it's never becheskas. I'm interpreting like Rabbeinu Tam, but this is the majority view, certainly post Rabbeinu Tam, this is the majority view. Maybe it's as simple as pshat. Meaning, shvarim are lav becheska shimur kaiman. You can never take your eye even off of docile, seemingly docile, you know, Bessie or Dolly. Right? Because you never know what the animal is going to do. Again, this, you may not want to say this in the wild, you know, life preservation society. But I saw today there was a piece on the news or something about comforting animals on planes.
Comfort
animals. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really want to say this about your comfort animal, but basically, stam shvarim la becheska shimur kaiman means that an animal's unpredictable. You never know what it's going to do. Even if he's a domestic animal and a comfort animal and has a great reputation. You know, he's your best, man's best friend, or at least your personal best friend. Right? Nonetheless, says Rav Papa, right, lav becheska shimur kai. You can never tell when he's going to lash out at you. Okay? Therefore, ubedinu debay l'shlumei kule. Really, really, even a tam should pay nezek shalom. Because it's considered a ma'isa hezek, there's a chiv shmira. It's not an onus when Bessie the cow, who's been like, you know, gentle and docile all those years, or Spot the dog, whatever it is, you know, if he all of a sudden turns on you, right, you don't have an excuse in saying, well, there was no chiv shmira, there was no becheskas, you know, ena shamor. That's what Rav Papa's saying. Very important, right? We don't paskin like our papa, though. Okay. So, but you should just know what he says. V'rachmana hudekasale da'kati lo yaid ture. The Torah stepped in and gave you a special dispensation. The Torah had rachmanas on you. This comfort animal or this domestic animal, right? Without a reputation. You know, even though al pidin, really no animal, you know, is trusted in that way, right? But since he doesn't have a track record, chas rachman alei, Torah intervenes and potters you for half of the amount. But really, pagan iska mamona, meaning that half, you certainly should pay that half, you should really pay the whole amount. That's pagan iska mamona. Rav Huna bar Devashu amar knasa, he holds kasavar sam shvarim v'cheska shimor kaimi. No, when it comes to irregular, actuarially or otherwise, irregular animal behavior, right? So there's a cheskas shimor. We don't consider animals, waiting to, attack, right? If they attack, after a domestic animal, in other words, who by his nature is supposed to be gentle, right? And so on. If they attack, that's always a surprise, and it's not a violation of your shmira. Because becheskas shimur, it's just like if you were in a garden and it were to break away, despite legitimate guarding, right, you don't need guarding here because it's not becheskas mazik, and therefore it's becheskas shimur, and therefore whatever happens, you should really be pater, right? Ubedinu de lo l'shalem klal. V'rachmanahu de kansu ki heche de linture l'ture. Right? Really, you should be pater legamri. These are opposite views in the simple reading of the Gemara. Right, but in order to encourage you, notwithstanding the legitimate track record of these animals, right, of a domesticated animal, in order to ensure you to upgrade your shmira, the Torah imposed a knas, right, when it goes out and damages, even on the earlier part. Okay, that's the discussion. So, do we paskin Palganiska Mamona or Palganiska Knasa? The answer is we paskin Palganiska Knasa. Now again, Bipashtus, right, and this is only how the Rebbeinu Tam understood it, and not only him, but others. Many people followed him for sure, including the Rajba and many of the Chachmei Sfarad, maybe probably even some of the people who came before him, is that these two positions are mutually exclusive. It's a fascinating argument, right, about animal behavior or again, reconstructing. I mean, everybody agrees that a domesticated animal is not likely to attack. You know, and then the question is, though, is it, becheskas shimur? In other words, is it, how radical, presumably they're not arguing about the facts, about the probabilities. You put an actuary in charge of animal behavior and you figure out what the level of risk is. Right, so what is this machlokas about? Right? Presumably we agree on the numbers, and the question is either what the threshold is, what number dictates the requirement of shimur or not, or it's a conceptual argument of some sort, and that is, notwithstanding lack of numbers, right, when an event takes place, do you look at it as exceptional, or you in the reconstruction you say, well, docile Betsy isn't so docile, and he's an animal in the end of the day, right? Can't say that today in public, but we could say it in the time of the Talmud, and we could say it in this base matter stuff, right? Good. So, if that's the case, if you hold Palganiska Knasa, that if a Hema's La Bekeska Shimur Kaimi, frankly, even if you hold the other way, but especially if you hold Palganiska Knasa, but maybe even if you hold Palganiska Mamona. So the Gemara is Habamina, that the difference between Keren Mechuberes and Keren Tlusha becomes very difficult to explain. Right? Meaning the Gemara thought that the only tam which triggers a knas is Karen Talusha, but Karen Mechuberes is Becheskas, you know, is not Becheskas Shimur. Very strange, because again, that's not how we paskin, obviously. So the Gemara, what was it? The numbers don't change. The threshold ad kedei kach changes. Strange. Okay, so we have to understand better, right, what it is that is going on, you know, in this sugya. Moreover, the bigger question that applies that the Rishonim all discusses: if indeed Karen in the Torah, that is Mishalim Chatzinezek Betam, right, refers to a case of Karen Talusha, then what is the makar for Nezek Shalem of Karen Mechuberes? Right? How do you know it? How do you know that din? What's the source? What are you going to say? Kal v'chomer, if Karen Talusha is chayiv, then Karen Mechuberes is certainly chayiv. This is, I'm now quoting the language of Rishonim. We should apply the rule, the methodological rule, of dialogue min adin lios kenadun. I mean, if you're learning a Kal v'chomer, you can use a Kol Shekein and a Kal v'chomer to include, right, or to expand the category. So if you want to say, we know that Karen Talusha, right, is Chayev Chatzin Nezek, and now we want to know, is Karen Mechuberes Pater Legamri or Chayev Chatzin Nezek? So you could say, you know, Kol Shekein, it's a Chayev at least Chatzin Nezek, maybe it's even Chayev Nezek Shaleh, right? But you can't apply Kal v'chomer to go from Karen Talusha Chatzin Nezek to Karen Mechuberes Nezek Shalein. That's against the rule, the very logical rule, right, one of the hermeneutic rules, but also a very logical one, of Dayo Lava Minadin Lios Kenadun. No Kal v'chomer can outreach itself, presumably. So the Gemara, all Rishonim was, like, what is this? How do you get Karen Mechuberes Nezek Shalem, where do you get it from? We'll see the Lishonos, not today, we'll see it next week. The Balei Tosfos themselves are made of Tam, we'll read it a little later on or next week. If you look out here on Gimel Amud Beis, Avam Mechuberes, Seim Akulam Muedes, Tosfos asks, Lishitasam, that Karen, I'm sorry, that Tam, Chatzin Nezek, you know, is either, you know, Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimur or Stam Shvarim Einem Becheskas Shimur, but that we mean it literally. Tosfos says, like, where does all this come from? Look at Tosfos for a second. Tosfos says, Avam Mechuberes Eim Akula Muedasi L'Shalem Nezek Shalem Afilu B'Pam Rishonavim Tomar Mehei Tesi. Where does this come from? Imi Tlusha Daya Kitlusha Min Daya Lava Min Adin Lios Kenadu Min Let It Be Chatzin Nezek. Imishar avos, what are you going to do? Derive it from all the other avos, meaning from Shane and Regel, right? Hotanach lemandamar Karen Adifa the Kavanas lahazik afilu Karenasi kinfarsha benatan lekamon dain lemandamar palganiska mamona the islay stam shvarim la becheska shimur kaimi av lemandamar palganiska kanasa the islay stam shvarim becheska shimur kaimi. Lo Asya Karen Mikulu. If you hold like Rebbeinu Tam that Stam Shvarim are not, are Becheskas Shimur, right? And if you hold that is true, even if in Karen Mechubar or Karen Mechuberes, no matter what you think about this point of the Gemara, so then you can't compare. You can't say, oh, Shane and Regel are Chayiv, so Karen should be Chayiv. Karen Mechuberes should be Chayiv. Why? Because Karen, Shane and Regel require Shmira. I mean, if an animal's walking, you know, in the Rishus HaNizak, then it's not bad and badly intentioned, but it's going to clump on things, it's going to step on things, it's going to knock into things. Or if it sees food, edible produce, it's going to eat it. Right, so in Rishus HaNizak, you're going to be chayiv for Shein v'Regel. We'll talk about Rishus HaRabim another time. You're going to be chayiv for Shein v'Regel. Why? For very good reasons. There's a basis for it, but that doesn't mean that Karen Mechuberes, which is not in the pasuk that says you're chayiv chatzin ezek, right? We want to say that it's chayv nezek shalem. Based on what? Based on connection to Shane Varegel or comparison to Shane. Unlike Shane Varegel, Karen Mechuberes is Becheskas Shibor. So if you hold Palganiska Knossa, where do you get Karen Mechuberes from? That you're Chayv Nezek Shalem. Right? Kiramin Lekamon, Kishad is Bar Benayu. And if you're going to learn that from others, then you should also have certain consequences. The Shlomar, just skip a little bit. The Lamandam Rapal Ganiska Knossa, Hadda Kaamar, Val Mechuberes, Ema Kumuledes, Vishalim Nezek Shalem, the Pamrishon Alamishim de Itstrich, Koralashminan de Em Muedes, Elatano, Hutzuk Lashminan Lahavi, Rayam, and Apasuk, the Mechuberes Nami, Avabachal Negicha, Shlotita Lomar, you shouldn't think the Negicha Haina Betlusha, Dumi the Karne Barzal de Tzidkia, Avab Mechuberes, by Darko Lahazak Mitzilasa, the Numa Bibar Reachon, Avab Sachai Benachatil, Nezek Shalim. Tosis says, it's very hard to understand what this Tosis is saying, but basically what he says, it's clearer in the Rajba, and if you look at the Maram and the Marsha, they elaborate the Tosis as well. It's clear in the Tosa Rosh, Tosa Ben Parents, the Rajba. What Tosis basically is saying is this Gemara is Aliba Demanda Amar Palganiska Mamon. Or another way to say it is, the way to read this Gemara, according to the Manda Amar Palganiska Knasa, is to say that the Havamina, if the Pasuk had referred to Palganiska, I'm sorry, had referred Palganiska to a case of Karen Tlusha, not Karen Mechuberes, then the assumption would have been that Stam Shvarim are Becheskas, are not Becheskas Shimur, namely that Palganiska is Mamona, and since Palganiska is Mamona, right, you can connect this to the other avos. You can connect Karen Mechuberes, right, to the other avos. We'll see next week, or we have a chance a little later on, but I doubt it, but maybe, that we'll see it. Some of the Rishonim say this more explicitly. Look for a minute. Oh, you don't have it. Sorry. But Tosar Rabbeinu Peretz and Tosar Rush say this a little more explicitly than Tosis, namely, that the Havamin of the Gemara is only according to our Papa. They say it in one respect a little better. Like the some of the Rishonim say, isn't the Safek of the Gemara about told the same Kiyotzim, Lav Kiyotzim? Who's it according to? Rapapa. If you just paid close attention, usually we don't, you know. We pay close attention, but not to who says what, because, you know, whoever says it, you know. It's the, you know, one of the rabbis of the Talmud. They're all authoritative, you know. But if you look at Tezvav Amud Aleph, the one who said Palgan Niska Mamona was Rapapa. So some of the Rishonim here say, it's Rapapa. So it's not so terrible that the Gemara thought Karen Telusha is Tam and Karen Mechuberes is Mishalim Nezek Shalem, because it's Rapapa who holds Palgan Niska Mamona. But Tosa doesn't say that. But Tosa says the equivalent of that, this would make it a little more palatable. Tosa says, if, according to that Havamina, you're right, that our conclusion of Palga Nizka Knossa is only because the Gemara here makes it clear that Nezek, that Chatzi Nezek applies even to Karen Mechuberes. But according to the Havamina, we would say Palga Nizka Mamona. Some of the other Rishonim are saying, it's her papa anyway. So it's not so terrible. All right. But it remains a very difficult point. I mean, what really happened here? So even according to Papa, it's a strange thing. Yeah, we'll discuss it. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like Tosfos actually makes sense. If you would think it's less likely, Karen Slusha is a less likely event, right?
Sure.
And therefore, it would be considered Bethesda Shimor.
Legabe that.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saying, but the threshold is, I mean, the threshold is at stake here? Maybe. I mean, you have to say that for those. It's a strange. I'm just saying the factual basis is not affected. I mean, whatever, you know, Gallup poll or whatever poll they're doing, you know, to figure out or whatever, so what, it's the threshold itself. I mean, there's some question whether or not a 20%, I'm making up the numbers, a 10%, you know, or 20% incidence, you know, is Becheska Shimur, right, a 90-10? But, you know, or is it, you know, 99-1 for Karen Klusha? Okay, let's say I'm overstating. Let's say Karen Klusha can be done by 10% of the animals through the dictates. I don't think it's true. Let's say, so it's 90-10? Or Karen Mechuba or Mechuberis is definitely triple, right? It's got to be triple Tlusha, so it's a 30%. So the Gemara is not, the discussion in the Gemara is whether or not the shiur of Cheska Shimur is 2% or 10% or 10% or 30%. You have to say something like that.
I mean,
if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say something like that.
I mean, I would think that Karen's Lucia is like much less, like you know, almost non-existent.
What?
I would think that Karen's Lucia is like almost non-existent.
Yeah, I'm saying, right.
Like,
so I'm just saying, it's very strange.
Yeah, but qualitatively they're very different.
But for Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say something like this. You're saying, oh, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm just saying, it makes sense, but I don't know about... I wouldn't want to put it this way. I'm not going to start up with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's, you know, one of everybody's heroes, including my own. But let's just say, I don't think I would not be comfortable if the only pshat in the sugya was Rabbeinu Tam here. You know, when it comes to, you know, Shibin HaGuf and Shibin HaChasim, I'm all in. You know what I'm saying? But this particular one, in this particular Gemara, you know, in addition to diversity and you know, and the, you know, the joy of figuring it all out, right? We need some other alternatives here. Okay, so let's, in order to understand this a little better in some of the other shitos, let me say two things. Number one, we may need to consider the possibility that against Rabbeinu Tam, that Pal Ganiska Mamon and Pal Ganiska Knasa, this is very important if it's true, and I believe it is true. For many, are not as mutually not as radical and as mutually exclusive as Rabbeinu Tam, and sometimes generally we think. Right. So let me just raise that now, and we're going to expand on it. But let me just say it in the following way: both the factor of Pal Ganiska Mamona and both the explanation of Pal Ganiska Mamona and Pal Ganiska Knasa, right, leave us with a kind of a question. How big a question? Let's take each one. What does Palganiska Mamona mean? We said Stam Shvarim Becheskas Allah Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. Okay? Now, again, even just the Machlok and the Mandamar holds Knasa, Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. Now already, I mean, I just asked the question about Tlusha and Mechuberes, but even the question itself, a little bit less of a problem, but it is an issue. What they're not arguing about the percentages. So they're arguing whether the percentages are koveya or what the threshold, you know, for tzorach shimur or ain't tzorach shimur is. Maybe. But let me just throw a whole another factor in to one or both of these. Let's do it to both, because in theory it applies to both, although you can be mechalik, and that is as follows: stam shvarim. Right, einam becheskas shimur. Therefore, pal ganiska is mamona. And so, why do you only pay half? Chas rachmana. And the chas rachmana is a totally extraneous factor. Is there a reason that the Torah is chas more here than they are in other niske mamon mamona situations? I mean, in Shane and Regal, there's no chas rachmana. Right, and in Muad, okay, because it's you know, understandably, I guess Muad. But meaning, I'm asking, and I'm not saying this is Mukhrach. Again, for Rabbeinu Tam, it isn't. For Rabbeinu Tam, it's the Chas Rachmana is extraneous, basically. Your Chayiv Nezek Shalem, and the Torah gave you a break. The question, why the Torah gave you a break here? So you'll give some answer. But whatever the answer is, either we can't fathom it, divine will, or even if we came up with an answer, presumably the answer, you know, has nothing to do with the quality of the Mamona, or with the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara, with the Gemara's description that you should really, really be chayiv nezek shalom. It's some extraneous reason why chas rachmana here. Maybe the frequency and the whatever it is. Okay? But I don't think it's so pasha. Wouldn't it be reasonable to say that maybe this qualifies, according to our papa, Palganiska Mamona, as Mamon? It's not a knas. Because, you know, what happened here isn't completely unexpected. At least in reconstructing it, it's not. Because it's not true that Stam Shvarim are completely Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. Stam Shvarim Becheskas Lo Shimur Einon Shimur Kaimi. However, that while that is true, the Chas Rachmana isn't completely arbitrary. There are aspects of this case that that substantively differentiated from Shein and Regel and Buad and so on. Meaning, while it passes the threshold of Mamon, right, the fact that this case is Chatzi, that it's a diluted Mamon, not just an extraneous Chas Rachman, is something to think about. Similarly, although again, you could say this about one and not the other, but it might be true about both. It's parallel in parallel about both. Take the Knas scenario, which is what? Rav Huna said, Palganiska Knasa. Why? Because Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur. Again, so the way the Rebbeinu Tam will have it is, you know, it's like you did Shmirah and then there was an Onus. Or you don't need to do Shmirah, and what Bessie or Daisy, whatever they did here, you know, was just completely out of the blue, and you know, you're completely potter from it. So why do you pay half? You should pay nothing. The answer is right. From a mamon point of view, you pay nothing. From a knas point of view, we imposed upon you. Why are we punishing you? You didn't do anything wrong. Okay, heichad delinteray. So what? It's a policy thing, or that's kind of how Rabbeinu Tam has it. So in one case you're chayiv legamri, but there's an extraneous chas rachmana. In the other case you're chayiv. I'm sorry. In one case you're chayiv legamri, but there's an extraneous chas rachmana. In the other case you're potter legamri, and there's an extraneous knas. But really, the mandomar holds palganiska mamona, palganiska knasa, are basically mutually exclusive in the way that they look. Neither of them thinks that what we have here is really a diluted hezek at all. It's either a full hezek or a non-hezek, right? In terms of the chiyuv of the bayit. However, what I'm saying is, maybe the reason that the Torah was kones you when it comes to nitirusa here is because maybe this doesn't qualify the threshold of chiyuv mamon, and there's no havamina that you would have to pay nezek shalem. In that sense, it doesn't qualify, you know, for, you know, shalom b'cheska shimur kaimi. However, in the end of the day, right, it's not a totally extraneous knas either. I mean, you could have prevented it, and it is considered an act of hezek. So then, I'll give you an example to highlight it. We'll talk more about it. The Ravid, we've talked about this other years, those who were here, the Ravid is of the opinion that the din of Moda B'Knas, Patur, right? Asher Yarshian Elohim V'lo Amar Shias Atzmo. I mentioned it last year when we learned Shuas Eidus. Right? Asher Yarshian Elohim V'lo Amar Shias Atzmo. That a Moda B'Knas is Patur. That's a din in Knossos. Right? If the fellow is Moda and there are no Eidim, again, if he sees Adam coming, you know, into court, and all of a sudden he has an attack of conscience, you know, that conveniently gets him, would have gotten him an exemption, that doesn't work. Fine. Don't say there are no Adam. The question, what about Acher Kach Bo Adam, right? But let's say he is Moda in a legitimate way. So Moda B'Knas is Pot. Says Rabbeinu Tam, says the Ravid. It's quoted differently by the Ravid, but by the Biri. The Ravid himself has different formulations. In the Chidush HaRavid above Akama, some aspects, at least, of the din of Moda B'Knas Potter don't apply to Palganiska Knas. Okay? It's possible that if there's no Edim, that Hodas Baldin Kim Edim Dami doesn't work, even for Palganis Knasa. But certainly, it sounds like the Raivit holds that if Im Achar Kach Bo Edim, even if in general, Modi Beknas V'Achar Bo Edim is Patur, when it comes to Knossos, Modi Beknas V'Achar Kach Bo Edim is Chai. The Raivit in Hilchos Gneba and in Hilchos Avadim uses an expression when it comes to Knossos, when he talks about why Modi Beknas is Patur and Knossos in general. Right, so the Raivid uses the expression, you know, because you're paying more than you damaged, or you're paying more than your action caused. That's a knas. And when it's yeser al whatever, therefore, you know, motive knas is pata or some other bezin is mechayiv and you can't have it be sap. Really, the Raivid is really talking there about a safek. Let's say you have a bayit loifshtan the Gemara about a safek. Right, the Gemara has a safek later on in Bava Kama. Let's say you stole an animal. The animal was whole. You stole it. And then it loses a limb. You cut off a limb, whatever it is. And then you sold it. Right, so the Mechira wasn't in the state of the Geneva. Okay, so there's a Bayit Lifshit on the Gemara later on in Meruba. The Gemara says, we're not sure whether the din of Tzvicha Mechira applies when the animal has been altered from the state of Geneva to the time of the Tzvicha. That's a technical point, okay? But it's a suffix, a halachic suffix about a knas of Chiyuv Dalad Vehei, right? So the Rambam paskens about that case, that it's a suffix, and, you know, you can't collect the knas misafik. However, says the Rambam, if the fellow grabs the knas, I mean the one who would be entitled to it, if there were a knas, then lo mafkina miyadi. That's around Perik Beis, Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Yud Beis. We don't have our Rambam here tonight. Right? Good. The Raivid says it's wrong. After all, a knas is something that is generated by Bezdin. Bidin pasuk beli safek. We've read this Rambam before. It has to be like something definitive, something decisive. And anytime you have, also not so obvious, but there's a Raivid shita. Anytime you have a bayit lifshita, then there's vadai no knas. Because to be a knas, you need a psak, and there's no psak if there's a safek. That's his view. Can't say, oh, there's a mimon of shak psak. Okay? In saying that, both in Hilchos Gneiva and a similar thing in Hilchos Avadim, the Raivid says, after all, a knas is more, right, than the amount, you know, that the trigger action, let's say, would have required. For example, you steal an object, and you were talking about kefel or dalad vehei, right? So since it's not correspondent, it's more than the amount, therefore you need bezdin to paskin ba'ofen barur. So I always thought, based on the Raivid and Bava Kama, in the Chiddush of Bava Kama, about Palgin Niske Knasa, that this is what he's referring. Why does he say more? Not true. All Knasas are not more. 90% of Knasas are more. 95. But this Palgin Niske Knasa, that's a prominent one. Ah, but the Raivid in Bava Kama, on some level or another, thinks that the din of Moda B'Knas Pato, when it comes to Palgin Niske Knasa, is diluted. Doesn't apply fully. So that's what he means. He means that there might be a difference between Palga Niska Knasa and other Knasos. Why? Because it's not more, it's less. Is it less? Not really. I mean, it looks like it's less. Is it really less? The answer is if you take a hard Rabbeinu Tam kind of a view, or a hard Gemara view, what is it, if you say, what the Ma'an Omer says Palga Niska Knasa, what does he think? Stam shvarim becheskas shimor kaimi. So you did nothing wrong. You should pay zero. So if you should pay zero and you're paying 50%, you're paying less than you should pay. You're paying 50% of a price that you should pay nothing of. Right? But if I take the view that Notwithstanding some, what, the machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Huna is a machlokas of Metzias, or it's a machlokas about maybe partially it's a machlokas about the threshold. Or maybe both of them are struggling, maybe even both, never mind one or the other, struggling to kind of put a label on something that is a diluted hezek. Meaning it's not exactly, it's, you know, it's Bechezka Shimur and not Bechezka Shimur. That may end up being the consequence, or the, you know, the result, not the cause. But let's assume for the moment it's even the cause. Meaning in one respect, you don't anticipate it like other things. On the other hand, it's Karen, it's Kavodos Alahazik. He was Mazik. The other one, you know, he stumbled on something, he ate something. That's, you know, animals being animals. It causes Nezek. You wouldn't call it a Maisa Hezek necessarily. He's walking in the, you know, in a path, and he stomps on something. He doesn't, like, see it and go out of his way and stomp on it vigorously. Right? But here we're talking about Karen, you know, with Tlusha or Mechuberes, either way. It's a real mazik. Right? So we now know that, okay. So, again, either the question is, what level of Shmira? Or maybe the question is, maybe, do you need Shmira? Do you need Choser Shmira? Do you need a Chi of Shmira in advance? Or the din is that when you have Shmira, you're patur for the Maisa Hezek that your animal commits. Oh, this goes back to something that we discussed in our Hagdama, right? Rashi on Tesumid Beis, when the Mishnah says, you know, Kol Shechav, Kol She, Kol, how does it go? The great line in the Mishnah, right? Kol Shechavti ben... Yeah, kol shechavti b'shmiraso. Good, excellent, thank you. Hichsharti is nisko. Right, so Rashi has two deos, what that means. Right, very telling. One is, the first pshat is, kol shechavti b'shmiraso, if I let you down, the mechayiv of niske mamon is choser shmira. Kol shechavti b'shmiraso, if I was delinquent in my shmira, and Echsharti is Nisko, I caused the Nezek. Okay, the animal did it. Great. Okay, but I should have prevented him. So the Mechayev is Choser Shmira. That's the first Pshat Rashi. And the second Pshat Rashi is, no, we don't mean that. We mean that, you know, that if you do a Shmira, you're Patur. And if you don't do a Shmira, then you have to pay. Not that you have to pay because of the lack of Shmira. Okay, so let's take it that way. Let's say Stam Shvarim, you know, Lagabe Karen are Lav Becheskas, are Becheskas Shimor Kain. Is that enough? Maybe our Papa thinks, so what? But there was a Maisa Hezek and there was no actual Shmira. And let's say now for, on the other hand, there wasn't Choser Shmira. Maybe that's why Rav Papa thinks that this is something in between. And the Chos Rachmana, not a coincidence. And maybe the same is true in a way for Rav Huna. Namely, Sam Shvarim, or Becheska Shimur, Kaimi. But there was still Maisa Hezek, wasn't there? Okay. So in the end of the day, This knas, that's the Raivin's view, probably. It's not a typical knas. Typical knas, you pay the Karen, and whatever you pay beyond that is additional. You pay the Karen, the Daikapo Dal of the Hay is beyond. But here, in some respect, even according to the Mandomar knas, the other guy's out $100. And your animal did this Maisa Hezek, the Kavana. Right? So true. You know, either there is no Choser Shmira, but you have these other factors, or maybe, you know, Igoli Milsel Mafreyim, that there should have been Shmira. There wasn't Shmira, and there's no Anas. So maybe both Mandam are Palganiska Mamona and Palganiska Knasa, or one or the other at least, thinks that we're dealing with some sort of a Mixas Chiyu that is expressed in Chatzi Nezek. In one case, it's the explanation for Chos Rachmana. True, he was Mazik, but it's not like there was also Choser Shmira. Chos Rachmana. Or, it's true, there's no choser shmira, but there was also kavanos of hazik and a mazik. So the knas of netiras, of kihechid and delinteray, right, is not a totally extraneous, made-up thing. If the gap between polgniska monik and polgniska knasa is bridged, A, it's much easier to understand the machlokas. It's not a machlokas and metzias, or even just only in picking the threshold. But then also in our Gemara, it's much easier. Right? It's not true that just because you hold polgniska knasa, right, that it has nothing to do with Shane and Regel. Right? It's better and it's worse. It's still better and worse. Okay. But partially this also has to do... I have to stop. I'm going overboard just a couple of minutes because we missed a week, so... You know, I'll finish up 2 minutes. It also has a lot to do, and this is what I want to finish with next week. I want to discuss the different shitas of Karen Mechuberes, the Hava Mina that it's Muad Mitchila, the different shitas, based on what we're saying now, but I also want to bring it back to the question of what kiyotza behem and lab kiyotza behem means. Okay? So, Rav Papa said, yesh mehem kiyotza behem, yesh mehem lab kiyotza behem. Right? What does it mean when we say toldoseim of nezikin are lab kiyotza behem? What does that mean? Like, in Hilchos Shabbos, when the Gemara wants to say toldoseim kiyotza behem, they say, oh, yechayv chatas under tolda, yechayv misa, benezit under tolda. Right? As opposed to what? Being potter. Okay? So, and tuma also. Right? If it's kiyotza behem, there's going to be tuma. If it's lav kiyotza behem, it's not going to reach to the next madrega. So if you look at Rashi on Beis Amid Beis, Rashi also seems to say that the issue is whether you're chayv or potter. Hachamai, told us the Shabbos have a ka'avos, told us the Tumah lo have a ka'avos, Vacha told us the Nezikin mai. Mir minu told us same kiyotza behem, lo shna av, lo shna tolda, imizik mishalem, ol dilma lo. What's the dilma lo? Pashtus, yubi potor. Wow. Rashi thinks that it's possible that Negicha and Negifa are mentioned in the Torah, and they're chayiv, and if you do some other attack, that you're potter legam? And if shein and regel, I mean if you eat, the animal eats, you know, normally, or he walks normally, and he stomps on something, you're chayiv, but the tolda of regel and tolda of shein are potter? That's what it seems like in Rashi. However, now what does that mean? Why should that be so? We'll talk about it early, a little bit next week. Goes back to the Akdama. However, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush and others do not interpret that way. They don't think the Gemara ever thought that if you hold told the same lav kiyotza ben and Ezekiel you'd be potur. So what do they think? Ah. So they say different things, we'll discuss it next week. However, I'm just going to leave you with this one thought. The Chidush HaGrid, a very famous piece in the beginning of Hilchos Niskei Mamon by Rav Belbel in the Chibur on the Rambam, Hilchos Niskei Mamon, where he interprets the Rif and the Rambam in a certain way. We'll examine next week whether we think it's compelling. I don't think that the Pshat, the Rif, and the Rambam is compelling at all. But based on how he understands it, his suggestion is that when the Gemara discusses whether toldos of Avos Nezikin are kiyotze or lav kiyotze, they don't mean chayv and patur. What they mean is there a generic notion of mazik, something we've already talked about? All mazikim are basically share a certain common theme. However, the Torah's mechadesh that there are certain specific chidushim about some of the avos nezikin, shein regel's patur b'shesarav. It's the list of the Gemara daf Amud Beis. We'll talk about it next week. Shein regel are patur b'shesarav. Eish is patur b'tamu. Bor is patur b'kelim u'ba'ada. Tam. A Karen requires is chatzi nezek tam until you do hadah. That's what the Gemara calls hilchosay. So Rav Belbel says the Gemara never thought that the toldos of any avos are patur. What they thought was that maybe every tolda, instead of being a specific tolda of the Av, tolda of Abors has a dinam of Abor, tolda of Eish, dinam of Eish, tolda of Karen, the dinam of Karen, and so on and so forth. What they thought was, every tolda of an Av is atzara shama shabahen, shadarkan lahazik, ushmirasan alacha, and you'll be chayiv without the halachos. You won't get the Peturim, you won't get the Chumras or the Kulas of the Avos Nezikin, but in all of them you'll have to pay Meitav, and there'll be a Din of Mazik. Ah. So that's how Rav Belvel interprets the Gemara's Havamina about Karen Mechuberis and Karen Tlusha. He says, it doesn't matter whether you hold Palganiska Mamona or Palganiska Knasa. Makes no difference. Because what we're really trying to suggest is that all the halakos of the Avos Nezikin are chidushim. That fundamentally, anytime it's dark and lahazik or shmiras on alecha, you should be chayiv. So the Gemara thought, Karen Mechuberis should pay Nezek Shalim. Because it's not a din Karen, it's a told of Karen, and therefore it's just part of the Tzara Shava. It's the generic mazik. Every told of every Av will be the part of the generic mazik. So that's what I want to pick up with next time, and then we'll continue on the Shakamataria as well.